The second lesson of our scripture today is from the book of Galatians in chapter 5. We'll share the first verse of that chapter as kind of a preamble to what Paul is teaching on today as he begins with verse 13 and continues through the remainder of this chapter. So listen with me to verse 1 and then we'll continue at verse 13. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit. I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Presbyterians, we have a problem. We have a problem with our scripture today. Because growing up in what we like to describe as the Bible Belt of America, our Southern culture so impacts our theology really beyond denomination, don't you think? Even more so in our locale, the fact that we live in the Bible Belt is just as impactful as the heritage of our specific denominations on our theology. Here's what I mean. We, who are children of the faith, in this region of the country, predominantly embrace this tenet of the Reformed faith that we are saved by grace through faith, regardless of our background. We find ourselves nodding and saying, yes, our salvation is a precious gift from God. We do nothing to earn it. We can't buy God's pleasure and love, and our eternal hope is built simply upon God's gift of His life that we may live. We embrace that message. We preach that message, and we read that message throughout Scripture. And then here today, Paul the Apostle throws us a curveball. If not a curveball, at least a change-up. He's giving us something different, something off-speed, something challenging to what we're normally used to preaching and proclaiming. Let's get right to it. Paul says, as he reads this list of ways of the flesh, he says, and I don't want to read them again. I'm afraid some of them will stick to me even more. As he reads this list, Paul says this, I'm warning you that those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my, Paul, I'm confused. Paul, you're also the one who said in your church letter to Ephesus those famous words that we all know from Ephesus chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, when he says, for it is by grace, you've been saved only through faith because your salvation is a gift from God. And then here Paul says, if you do this, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. And guess that's one way of interpreting it, right? So we that are faced with the problem this morning, we have to back up as people of the faith. As good biblical scholars, we have to remember, what do we do when we're faced with challenges of Scripture that turn our theological interpretations upside down, or at least present us with challenges to how we normally understand the faith? Well, it helps me to go back and consider the roots and the guidance of our confessions. The Westminster Confession of Faith, a guide for us for reading and interpreting Scripture, says this about Scripture. Paraphrasing here for you today, the section where the Westminster in section 6 speaks of Holy Scripture says this. We interpret Scripture with Scripture. Through the love of Christ, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Wow, I like that. You know what I hear our forebears saying there? When we find ourselves stumped in a text like we do today, then we read these words of Paul in context with the larger message of Scripture. Are we reading a text in a way that's consistent with the overall message? You see, doesn't that make sense? Have you ever heard of a relationship being challenged where a couple or maybe even business partners had lived in great relationship for many years and then they had one bad experience? And sometimes it can challenge the whole history of that relationship. But when they get it right, they say, let's not consider this one upset in our relationship. Let's remember the entire history and consider it as a whole. You see, when we interpret Scripture, we embrace what the text says as a whole. We interpret Scripture with Scripture. And we interpret it through the love of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? It was John the Evangelist who said this at the very beginning of his letter of the gospel, the letter to us as people of faith. He says, the Word was made flesh, and He came to dwell among us. In other words, John is saying to understand the Word of God, we as people of God need to understand Christ. We read Scripture with Scripture, and we read it through the life of Christ. And what is the life of Christ? What does Scripture tell us more than anything else that Christ is? Christ is love. We trust in the Holy Spirit to help us to read. So very personally, as I wrestle with this text with you this morning, how do I make sense of this passage of Scripture where Paul says, if you do these things, let me read it again, make sure I get it right. I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. For me personally, I think Paul is reminding us that certainly our sinfulness leads to death. It separates us from God. And in our sinfulness, we cannot hope to get to heaven. As Paul has been preaching through Galatians, he's speaking on the difference between the law and the faith. And he's challenging the Galatians to say, listen, people of faith, listen to you, followers of God, if you want to live by the law and hope that you can get to heaven by doing that, then you can try. But if you do these things, you'll never get there. You better put your hope in something else. And if I were you, I would put it in the life of Christ. I think that's the deeper message that Paul is saying is, sure, Paul is right. Those who embrace these things, those sins will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what? My sinful nature will not enter the kingdom of heaven. God will transform me. God will conquer all my sin. God will wash away all of my brokenness and the brokenness of all of us. And we will be perfectly made in His image as we ascend to glory. Because it is the gift of faith only in Christ that sets us free from our sin and from the law. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. And the gift of our Savior. Paul also says in verse 13 to embrace the freedom that we have in Christ. You know, so often in our journey of faith, we think to be free means to do whatever we want. I've shared with some of you before that we have a population, it's dwindling at times, of feral cats around our neighborhood. And those cats are funny. They want to be free. They don't want Manya to hug them and cuddle them as she wants to. They won't let us touch them. They are adamant in being free. And in their mind, they are free. They're so free they don't get to come into our house, enjoy the air conditioning. They're so free that they don't get to eat the fancy cat food that you pop the can on like our little Willow does. They're so free that they don't get to be nurtured and rubbed and purr upon the chest of your pastor. They are free. You see, Paul is saying to us, true freedom is embracing love of God. True freedom is turning from these things that challenge and separate us from His holy love. Friends, true freedom is turning from the things that separate us from God. It's not being slaveries to the sin that separates us from Him, but it's embracing His love and walking in His ways. See, isn't that what Paul means? When he says in our text today that the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against these things, friends, there is no law. You see what I think Paul is saying there too? We spend so much time at some points in our faith speaking about what we should be against as Christians. We spend so much time saying this is what we shouldn't do. And certainly there are things that we need to resist. But shouldn't we spend equal time of saying what we are about as Christian people and what we're called to do? Isn't that what Paul is saying in our text? When he says the fruit, the things that God desires most of all, the thing that sustains us and nourishes us is not so much what we resist, but what we embrace. Love. Love. Not long ago, Manya and I enjoyed a nice meal at our local Mexican restaurant. And you know, sometimes you have to be careful what you order and how you order it at a foreign restaurant. Sometimes they have the chip bringers who may not be real fluent in English. Their English is much better than my Spanish, mind you, but still sometimes. And we had a new waitress not long ago, and I knew I messed up. I threw her a curveball, and I made my order more complicated than I should have. I should have kept it very simple because I knew she wasn't real rich in English. And I ordered, I said, I want one of those fajita taco salads. You know, I don't want a regular taco salad. I want a fajita taco salad with the grilled onions and stuff and everything. And I don't want the chicken and beef. I want a shrimp fajita taco salad. And she listened to all that and she said, okay, you want chicken or beef? I said, well, I don't want the chicken or beef. I just want to do a shrimp fajita taco salad. Okay, chicken or beef? And I said, just give me chicken. She said, okay, how many shrimp you want? I'd spent so much time saying what I was against. And she wanted to know what I was for. Friends, in our faith, the primary call, as Paul said in our text today, this is not my words. You wonder why I preach on love so much here, maybe. Well, when God stops talking about love, I'll stop talking about love. As I read Holy Scripture, that's the prevailing message of our faith. It gives me chills, even as I express it today, when Paul says, the greatest commandment, dear church, is to love. And we love through our words and we love through our actions. I can't tell you. Can you see me beaming today as a pastor? I can't tell you how I was bursting with holy pride. Not that old negative pride. Holy pride yesterday. As I stood in worship and proclaimed the gift of holy matrimony to Steve and Kelly Fryer. And I looked out there and Becky, this church was filled with Presbyterians, wasn't it? They were filled with you and you and you who came to show up for someone to express your love to them. You see, that's what we do as the church. And to their dying day, Kelly and Steve will never forget you being here for them. For your actions yesterday, church, proclaim the fruit of the Spirit. May we continually live out God's love, taking the time as the church to indeed proclaim what we're for, at least as often as what we're against. And in doing so, God will be glorified and His love will grow forever. Amen.